Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with podcast number 57, Your First Marathon, Part 3. Today I want to respond to a few specific questions that I've received. Number one, how do you train when it's crazy hot? Well, the best thing might be to start your run well before daylight when it's coolest. Here in Florida, many people start at 5 a.m. and sometimes earlier. You can also run in the evening. Of course, if it's early or late, you'll need to run with friends for safety. Run in a safe location, wear reflective clothing, and a headlamp. You have to do what works. A treadmill will work as well. If you put it at a slight incline, the difficulty will more closely approximate running outdoors. The key to training in the heat is to gradually acclimate yourself to it, which is what tends to happen because you're gradually building the distance of your long runs over time anyway. Dress appropriately, hydrate properly, and I advise planning ahead and dropping off a couple of coolers along your training route with ice in them. Then you can use that to cool off. Check out podcast number 14 titled Running in Hot Weather. That episode presents a whole host of ideas for what to do when it's hot out. I live in Florida, hot Florida. From June through August, low temperatures average 74 degrees and high temperatures average 90. Average morning humidity is 86%, and average afternoon humidity is 62%. So we've got lots of ideas for coping with heat. And yes, we still run marathons in the fall, which means doing our long runs during the hottest months. It can be done, but it is very uncomfortable. This is for sure. This is why when running with a group, you'll be much better off. You'll find that it can really help as the conversation diverts your attention from the heat. Well, to the extent that that's possible. At least you have others to commiserate with. Number two, how many days a week should you train? Well, it depends on your schedule. Some have you running more miles per day, but running fewer days per week, and some have you doing fewer miles per day and more days per week. One method isn't necessarily better than the other. Choose the one that you feel most comfortable with and go with that. I discussed this in the last episode, so I won't go into it too much here. Number three, should you have a goal for your first marathon? Of course, your main goal should be to finish, but I do think it's helpful to also have a time goal. Yes, even for your first marathon. While you shouldn't worry about your finish time on your first time out, I think it does help to estimate your finish time and estimate on the slow side. But do come up with a time to aim for, and I'll explain why. When I did my first marathon, I felt like it was realistic to try to finish under 5 hours, based on the various prediction calculators. Unforeseen factors beyond my control virtually prevented my training for the last 3 weeks. I had been training well, sticking to my schedule, when my mother was in an automobile accident and ended up in the hospital. While she was there, my dad had his first stroke. Between looking after them and working, my training was seriously disrupted. I had no thoughts on being able to do the marathon after my dad's stroke, but the week before the marathon, my mom had improved and gotten out of the hospital, and dad was doing much better. I decided to do the race. I didn't want to waste 6 months of training, and I thought I might still be able to pull it off. I had gotten in a little running over the 3 weeks prior, and if it didn't go well, I knew I just wouldn't finish. At worst, I'd get in a good long run, and I'd enjoy the weekend away with friends. Well, I did it. The last 5 miles were really tough, and I found myself walking every so often. But I also had my eye on the clock, and I could see that if I walked too much, I wouldn't make the 5-hour time goal. I finished in 4 hours, 58 minutes, and 30 seconds. If I hadn't had any goal, I know I would have finished in 5 hours, 15 minutes, or more. I'm sure of it, because walking is very slow. If you start walking in a marathon because you're too tired to run, then you're likely to walk slowly, like at about a 16 to 17 minute per mile pace. Even 1 mile of walking does serious damage to your time. So, having that time goal in my head helped me walk less and push myself more. And yes, I was extremely glad I had done the race. That's also a good example of why it's so important to stick to your schedule. Had I not been religious in sticking to my schedule until my parents became ill, then missing those 3 weeks would have definitely made the race a bad idea. Even if I had finished, I would likely have become injured, and the experience would not have been a pleasant one. But before those 3 weeks of missed training, or mostly missed training, I had followed my schedule, and I had built up a good base over a period of months. So my advice is to have a time goal. But of course, your fallback goal is just to finish, and really, you should be tickled with that. Number 4, how can I predict my time? Well, there are various online prediction calculators. You put in your time from another shorter race, and they will predict the finish time for your marathon. But keep in mind that these calculators are for anyone. They're not designed for first-time marathoners. My advice is to use one of these calculators and then add 30 minutes for your first marathon. However, remember, these calculators assume that you will have completed a realistic training plan prior to the marathon. If you don't stick to a good schedule, then the prediction will not be accurate. I recommend checking several calculators too. Check the McMillan Prediction Calculator, the one on the Runner's World website, and the one on Cool Running, but there's probably many more. If you have a recent half marathon time, that's certainly going to give you a more realistic prediction than something shorter, particularly a 5K. Number 5, what if something starts to hurt? Give it time. If you usually run in the morning before work, don't. Save your run for after work to see if the pain goes away by then. If it doesn't, skip your run. Seriously, you've got to be very, very careful when marathon training. You can't afford to let something develop. As important as it is to be consistent, avoiding injury is the single overriding consideration. Depending on the issue, you may just need more foam rolling, more use of the stick, a massage, more stretching. But please be careful to pay attention to anything that hurts. You're much better off to rest it when it first gives you trouble than to try to keep running on it until it becomes a serious issue. Do not tell yourself, gotta be tough, run through the pain, no gain. That would be a very big mistake. Again, something that will take mental strength, because you will likely feel guilty if you don't run, even if you want to run and you're not, just because of a pain. You've got to change your mindset and realize that sometimes not running when you have an injury or you seem to be on the verge of one is what requires the most discipline. Do not wait days to see a massage therapist. In fact, I would be getting a deep tissue massage every other week during marathon training, and every week if you can afford it. Seriously, this can make a huge difference in your success, but don't just go to a massage franchise down the street. I've had some massages in my time that were completely worthless. Make sure you go to someone who is highly recommended by runners in your community. You want a deep tissue sports massage. It is a good idea to ask the runners working at your local running specialty store. They should have some good names to give you. And along that same vein, a visit to your chiropractor is in order as well. I'd do this early in your training and at least once later on, close to the marathon. But just like with the massage, be sure to go to a chiropractor with an excellent reputation among runners. I've been to chiropractors that I thought did nothing but take my money, but the one I go to now has been invaluable to me. If you can afford it, again, it would probably be a good idea to go more often. Think about it. If something is out of alignment and you go running 30, 40, or 50 miles a week, you're at the very least likely to start hurting, and it could be much worse. Also, get yourself a foam roller and use it every day. I'll link to a PDF that explains how to use it effectively. I also recommend the device known as the stick. Most running specialty stores have this. It is also for massaging the muscles, but it works differently from the foam roller. I recommend buying both and using both every day. This is a good place to talk briefly about stretching. We've discussed this in prior podcasts, and the advice is the same. Practice dynamic stretching before all your runs. Dynamic means moving. So, with dynamic stretching, you're focused on moving your various body parts through their full range of motion, particularly movements that imitate those you'll use in your run. This means swinging your legs, perhaps doing bounding drills, etc. The best practice is to go for an easy 10-minute jog and then do your dynamic stretching before continuing with your workout. Practice static stretching several times a week, but only after you run or when you are thoroughly warmed up after some other activity. I would avoid stretching after your once weekly long run, however. Remember, your body is much more susceptible to injury at that time. Just let it rest and put off stretching until the next day. And even then, make sure you've warmed up your muscles with a brisk walk or easy run or some other activity. Number 6, should I cross train? Yes. Hopefully, you're already cross training. If not, start cross training now. One important consideration is that all cross training is not the same. Yoga is not the same as cycling, which is nothing like swimming. I like yoga, but I think every first-time marathoner will do well to incorporate one session per week of cycling, swimming, or stair climbing, and one session of strength training. But be sure to start this and get accustomed to it before starting marathon training. And also, pay attention to your schedule. Some schedules will specifically call for cross-training, and some don't. One thing I think is important is that all schedules that call for cross-training should be specific about exactly what cross-training is recommended. And don't do anything too intense. Exercise moderation. Don't enroll in an intense boot camp or sign up with a personal trainer whose attitude is to scream at you, "Do one more, you can do another." Here's a story. A member of my local group was going to a personal trainer at a local gym. The trainer fussed at my runner one day because my runner's legs were tired from his morning run. My friend said, "Let me remind you, I'm training with you to facilitate my running. The strength training is not the goal." He soon changed trainers, wisely. There are plenty of runners out there in boot camp classes or CrossFit trying to prove they are the strongest or most able on any given day, or trying to lift more than ever before, or trying to lift more than anyone else in the group. Do not get caught up in this. It's the wrong mindset. Strength training is not a competition. It's something you do to facilitate your running. You do it to run better, with improved form and less chance of injury. Do it with bad form, and just the opposite is likely to occur. You need guidance. You need to do the exercises that will be the best complement to your running. And you need exercises chosen to strengthen your muscles through their full range of movement and to strengthen your weaker muscles, thus preventing muscle imbalance and taking stress off your joints and bones. Strong muscles will help correct problems with your gait and improve your running economy. And think about it. Weak muscles or muscle imbalance might not cause an obvious problem in a short race, but a marathon is a whole different situation. If there is a problem, if you have a weakness, marathon training will certainly make it obvious. Your purpose should be to get your muscles into optimal condition without injuring anything. It is critical that all exercises be performed with correct form. That's far more critical than lifting more weight. In fact, how much weight you lift is actually irrelevant. The weight is just a means of assisting you in strengthening your muscles. I highly recommend you find an experienced, qualified trainer, preferably one who runs, or better yet, one who specializes in strength training for runners. You do not need to be a member of a gym. Bodyweight exercises and low-cost training aids will be plenty. A good trainer will be creative. Find a trainer and check out their credentials. Also, make sure to find a trainer with a reputation for working with runners and a reputation for keeping runners healthy. Then trust that trainer. Now a few more suggestions. Find a group to train with. This is most critical to your success. If you find a group, one like my local runners had over the last several months as they trained for the Marine Corps Marathon, your memories of that marathon will be as much about the camaraderie of that group as about the accomplishment. And that's something that many people don't expect. A group will hold you accountable and provide more opportunities for training. A runner alone would not be wise to be out running at 4:30 in the morning, but running in a pack of 15 is a whole different situation. It also makes you feel like you're a little less crazy when you're out there with the group. Be leery of advice from experienced runners. Sometimes their advice will be spot on, but other times, and more often I'd say, they'll forget that they are experienced marathoners and you are training for your first marathon. Seriously, I see and hear this all the time, and it drives me crazy. The person asking for advice is a first-time marathoner asking a question of someone who has done many marathons and perhaps even some ultra-marathons. If the person giving the advice is not a coach or not a good coach, that person may give advice that is completely inappropriate for the first-timer. Every runner is different. I would go so far as to say every first-time marathoner is different. And the advice given to each first-time marathoner should be tailored to that specific person. The person giving the advice should, if at all possible, know much about the experience and fitness level of the first-time marathoner before giving advice. And an equally important situation occurs when you ask for advice and someone who has run just one or two marathons starts telling you what to do as if they're an authority. That person sure doesn't have the experience or the knowledge to advise you. Off-the-cuff advice can be dangerous. So, my advice is to be careful who you ask for advice. If you can afford it and you like working with a coach, find a marathon coach who has demonstrated success working with first-time marathoners. And by demonstrated success, I mean, first and foremost, getting those people, those first-time marathoners, across the finish line without injury. If you decide to work with a coach, I have advice for you. Listen to your coach. If you hire a coach and then do not follow the coach's instructions, you're wasting your time and money and, of course, risking your success. Whatever you do, treat your first marathon differently. Do not do the speed work your friend is doing who is trying to qualify for Boston. Don't do the same quantity of mileage or follow the same schedule. One of my runners, early on in his first marathon schedule, said he read an article in Runner's World about speed work for marathons and he wanted to try it. I told him not to. Don't do it, I said. It's your first marathon, and you shouldn't be worried about speed. The most important thing is to aim for with your first marathon is to finish without injury. That article was for marathoners who wanted to improve their marathon time, not first-timers. Your body is already getting plenty of stress from the increased mileage. And now I'll end this podcast with the answer to one more question. This one is from Michelle in London. She said she's worried about the pain she thinks she may experience near the end of the marathon, and she worries about hitting the wall. Well, Michelle, I can tell you that the last few miles will be hard. They will. You've got to expect and accept that. Your first marathon will be hard, and the last few miles will be the hardest. They always are. I've done many marathons, but let me tell you this story. A couple of years ago, I was passing by the 20-mile marker in a marathon, and there was a group of people cheering us on from a street corner. I had been running along for the last several miles with a knot of people I didn't know, but who, despite almost no conversation, were starting to feel like friends. As we passed the group on the corner, they yelled out, "Good job! You're almost there!" It was funny to all of us. All of us runners apparently had the same thought. Spontaneously, everyone commented, each saying something to this effect. Obviously, they've never run a marathon. Because that last 6 miles is always difficult. In some ways, the last 6 or 8 miles feel more like the halfway mark. If that sounds discouraging, just remember, people don't run marathons because they're easy. They run them because they embrace the challenge, because they seek out that difficult experience, because whether they realize it or not, they want to experience that character-building, empowering experience, because once they've done it, they've got it forever. And many other things in life will seem easy by comparison. Okay, that's all for today. Please send along any questions you have about your first marathon. Next time, we'll talk about race day, your strategy, negative splitting, recovery, and more. And just one announcement. My new website for beginner runners is launched. It is the beginnerrunnervillage.com website, and the Beginner Runner Village program will be launching as well pretty soon. If you know anyone who wants to work up to their first 5K, this is a very gradual program, more gradual than the usual Couch to 5K programs. And I've started an associated Beginner Runner Village podcast, which is on iTunes. Please spread the word. Now, today's quote. There will be days when I don't know if I can run a marathon. There will be a lifetime of knowing that I have.